Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
How many of us really enjoyed the movie? Nice one. Okay, so, ushers, help us with microphone. I want to, maybe I'll just be able to take like 6 or 7 people. If you know you have something to share, what you learned, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see, how many of us? 1, who else? 2, I'm giving you your number, 2, 3. You're on blue. 3, okay. There's 4 there, then there's 5 here. 6, 7. That's fine. So let's hear from them. Things that are leaning. Let's put the light off. Is the light disturbing you?
Good evening, sir. Okay, firstly, there are a lot of lessons in the movie, sincerely. But firstly, no matter our emotion, how we are close to people, irrespective of, we cannot be, it's not factual or it's not logical. Anything the Holy Spirit is telling us we should obey, we can see his disobedience brought him to losing his being prison and all of that. So obedience to the Holy Spirit. Then the second one that caught my attention was on between couples. I noticed once each of them say a word like, it's not funny, they quickly adjust to the joke. They won't kind of, you are joking, this thing is not funny. The person quickly adjusts, not continuing and getting the other partner angry. Yeah, that is one thing I picked.
Thank you.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
One thing I learned from the story is at every point where a breakthrough is coming, everyone faces an hard time. Even for Jesus to be able to die and rise again so our sins can be washed away, he had to go through a tough time, which is the period of this Easter we're going through presently. And secondly, for everything we go through, there's a time we were sharing a devotion between I and my cousin. So we bumped on a word and I'm trying to put my words together. The word was, what would Jesus do? That is, when we find ourselves in confronting situations, tight corners, tempting situations, we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? So when you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? This leads you to a consciousness of how to act and how to act rightly. Thank you.
Now, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. So there are many things that I learned from this movie, but there are 4 things I picked. So the first one is your faith will always be tested. Always.
A faith will always be tested.
And the second one is be an open slate, both in character and reputation. Mm. And another one is men will always be men.
Men will always be men.
Then the last one is a Christian stands his ground, stands on the principles of Christ.
I didn't get that.
A Christian stands his ground, stands on the principles of Christ.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's very, very, very strong. Okay, somebody else. Where are the other people?
Good evening, sir. Thank you, sir. So I think I learned two lessons there, but they are intertwined somehow. The first is that the fact that a spouse was a believer when we got married does not necessarily guarantee that the person will continue believing in God. So it's very, they are, how rooted they are in God, even before the marriage, is very, very crucial. Because, I mean, Officer Collins was a believer before they got married, but along the line, he lost his faith and he affected his whole family. So the stance of the spouse or the partner before marriage is very, very important compared to the second officer's wife. She stood her ground. They stood in faith. So it's very, very important. Marriage will be tested. Our faith, our love, everything will be tested. But the faith we have in God is the most important thing.
And possibly those other ones possibly didn't marry as Christians, but he now got born again. Then this one's probably even married as Christians, but they could not stand the test of time. So that tells us that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Good evening, Pastor Sir.
Good evening.
Yeah. What I learned, I don't know, it's not something new, patience and trust, but it jumped at me in a very new way again with this movie. I mean, the fact that at some point in time, when the Holy Spirit told Officer Emmanuel to do some things, and he did not do it, and then at the point that they have to move from where they are living back to that place that the area boys, I just felt like some way God supposed to just show up, and they still had patience and still trusted God, still praising God. I don't know, I just felt that came to me in a very new light. Yeah. Patience and trust in God totally.
Thank you. We have two more people, is that? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, George.
Good evening.
There's something I want to say, just one particular word. There's something I realized in this video, in this movie. Everything about God is so mysterious. The way God handled things, I'm telling you, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Because the way we plan things, the way we ourselves think, is different from the way God do it. The way God organize, design things, is totally different. Because when I was watching this movie, there was a part where the man was so frustrated. As a normal human being, you may think that God is not doing anything, that it's not there, it's not, there's no effectiveness of God. But I'm telling you, at that point, God is working.
God is working.
God is there to change things.
Okay.
So tonight, one thing that I realized in this movie and one thing that is there with me is that God is working.
God is working.
No matter the level, no matter what you see yourself, He's there. Thank you so much.
Okay. You didn't raise your hand before. You just had revelation. Master Messiah. Okay, that should be the last person.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
This movie is really amazing. I learned a whole lot, right? But something I learned, the fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean you should not be aware of your environment. Officer Ima there, he could not see the handwriting on the wall. I mean, several times, Christians, we just say, oh, okay, oh, God, God, God. You have to, I mean, be conscious of your environment. The Bible tells us to be gentle as a dove, but also be wise as a serpent. If he was aware of his environment, and most Christians, we often do that. If we're aware of our environment, the Lord will save us from a whole lot of mishaps. We, just being aware of our environment. Then secondly, my striking point is on integrity. There is this saying, no matter how big you can ever be, for whatever field or publicity, never lose your integrity. You know, certainly time, most Christians, they just say, you want to cut corners. Cutting corners will actually lead you to places you really don't want to go to. But if you stay with integrity, yes, it might not really be rich like you feel, but then again, good name is better than riches. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. I see people raising their hands. What do we do about them? So how many people? Can I see? one person there. So take that one, I'll take Pastor Sarah and I'll close.
Good evening, pastors.
Good evening.
I learned that no matter how big the amount of money is, you should still hold on God. That God's reward is bigger than 10 million.
10 million. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Good.
And I understand that no matter how it is, don't lose hope that God is not with you. God, there's time for everything. God do it, his wonders in a wonderful way.
Yeah. Thank you very much. God bless you. True, true, true.
Thank you, sir. So I think the striking part for me was on the fact that the part where God instructed him, I think God told him to go and like expose what was happening, like speak, and then he didn't, which eventually the whole thing now turned upside down. So I feel like sometimes God instructs and we don't, those little things that we neglect, those little nudgings that we neglect, sometimes it makes the route longer. So the fact that it was that hard doesn't mean that God initially orchestrated it to be that hard. The fact that, Joseph had to go through, the point of going to prison and everything, I don't think that it always would have been like that. Like, some sufferings is not necessarily because God said that you were going to suffer. They are just little lapses and instructions that we've probably neglected, we did not pay attention to, or we did not obey totally, complete obedience. So that was it for
us. Yes. And at the end of the day, in his mercy, he still works everything together for our good. That means, despite the fact that if we had gotten it right, the journey would have been shorter. And if we miss it, mercy is a bailout. Do you understand? And, okay, let me just say a few things, then we're going to... Let me just say a few things. The first is a few scriptures. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Bible says, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and do what? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Shall. It means that if you decide to go God's way, there will always be persecution. Christianity is not a call to say everything is now okay. It's a journey. And when people give their lives to Christ or accept Christ into their heart, whichever way it is, they have the mindset that they are not supposed to go through any terrible times. Christians go through hard times, very hard times. The reason why, like you said, that God's ways are mysterious, the reason why it looks like a mystery is because we don't know God and we have not studied the Word. If we have studied the Word, we would have seen that some of our fathers went through a lot of things. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall to diverse temptations. For the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Let patience have a perfect work in you so that you'll be thorough, entire, lacking nothing. That you got born again and you're going through a hard time and you expect that God will show up, doesn't mean he will show up that moment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, even if our God doesn't show up. What if at the end of the day, this movie now, listen, what if at the end of the day, in this movie, the way they did it, the governor did not call for him, and right in the uncompleted building, due to malaria bites, he died. God is still faithful. I want us to come to the point where we don't judge God based on time. He has secured eternal life for us in Christ. Our life is in Christ, not in this world. So if anything goes wrong in this world, I have not lost. It's a journey. Remember, the Bible says by faith, if you read the book of Hebrews, by faith, some people escaped lion, the sword, and all that. Then by faith, some were sawn asunder. They were killed by faith. By faith, some people went through hard time and they died by faith. Don't forget that when a believer dies, he has not died. He is alive. And the real life is not this 80 years or 120 or 150 you're going to live here. Our life is hid with Christ in God. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That means there will be an appearance. Whether you are physically dead or you remain in rapture, we shall appear with him in glory. If believers come to terms with this, we will break out of the secular or worldly mindset that because I am born again, the Christianity that has to do with everything just has to work. It will work for our good eventually. But we are saying that we must put a caveat somewhere, we must put a line somewhere that even if our God doesn't deliver us, we have been delivered from darkness into light. That's the ultimate deliverance. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Oh, we called you to church, you got born again, somebody invited you, then after you got born again, thinking that everything was going fine, then they just push you out of your job. Then the next offer you are getting is a friend that is trying to tell you, ah, man, see what's up, see what's up. That's a test of your faith. If you fail that test, your journey might now be hard. You might even go back to Satan. But if you pass that test, you'll be amazed to know that there are greater things that God has in store for you. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say right now? So sometimes you must understand that as a believer, Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. If the Son of the Living God had to go through a lot and he said that we should carry our cross daily and follow him, it doesn't mean that everybody will have a bad experience. It doesn't mean that everybody will have things terrible. No, God has assured us. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. But he said, in the world you have tribulations, but in me is not in this world. In me is both here and in the world to come. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here right now? So we must understand, and most of the times our own disobedience can now stretch the whole thing like we saw in the movie too. Our disobedience, inability to hear the voice of God, heed his voice, know what he's saying per time, that can stretch it a whole lot. But that is stretching it doesn't mean that God has not still got our back covered. The fact that that happened eventually, God has still, you know, plans for us. He still has plans for us to cover up for us. I'm really excited about the fact that the movie shows us that true discipleship is following Jesus to the end, whether it works or it doesn't work. The scripture that the last scripture is Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. It says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto what? Death. For some people, it was just the offer of little money. Offer of little money that made them leave church activities. And they say, there's one thing they say somewhere. They have left it. They are no longer serious with God. Some people, it's just the offer of relationship. Somebody just came and said relationships that they started taking the Holy Spirit on relay race. Just small things. Little things. You must always remember that God has plans. Then let's take it a little bit higher. The point where Officer Collins, after he accepted Christ, started making impact. Many believers do personal Christianity. They are not willing to make impact. So this guy decided to start reaching out to the area boys and started preaching Christ to them. And look at how he got so many of them saved. And they started following Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? These guys started following Jesus, passionate about God, because somebody came to light and he passed the torch to them. Now if I were to ask, how many of us, who are you passing the torch onto? Who are you discipling? Every time we talk about discipleship, people are always thinking about church. No, it is you that will disciple people. It is you that will have a circle of friends that you are bringing in. people that you want to teach the things of God, people you want to show the things of God, people you want to help to know God. Most of the things we do, especially believers that have stayed in church, you know, maybe for a while, and they want to do one thing or the other, you're always doing things that are inward. You're not doing evangelistic things. An evangelistic thing is something that is saying, where are the sinners, the unbelievers, where are they? Let's get them into what we want to do so that they have to be saved. If somebody wants to do a worship, I want to do a worship concert, it's the same church members that came for the worship concert. Nobody accepted Christ into their hearts. Kilo deshi. Whereas every Sunday in church, you see your pastor who wants to accept Christ. I will always give opportunity. I always find a way to give opportunity. How many of you? Even midweek services, sometimes I still say, how many of you want? Because I expect that evangelical work is the key thing. That people come to a meeting where believers are and they're supposed to get opportunity to accept Christ. We want to do Bible study. Me and my friends, Bible study. Click that will not allow destinies click into Christ. Break those things and go and bring people so that every time you're doing those small things, you see one new person born again. You are smiling. 2 years down the line, you'll be able to remember that 15 to 20 to 30 people got born again in my journey in the past 10 years or 5 years or 2 years or whatever it is. I have led people to Christ. The work of the church is inward, and we are doing inward. Every other thing anybody wants to do should be outward, then bring it in. Anything else. If it is not reaching out, it is not a blessing. It's not a blessing. It just blessed the body of believers that will still be blessed in church. How about we reach out to many other people? How about we do that and see how, you know, how much God will begin to open our eyes to see the depths of his love and the things that he wants to do in the lives of people. So I want to charge us today. Officer Collins showed us something. He reached out to the unbelievers, started bringing them into Christ. Some of us get born again and we get very comfortable. The reason the other guy, Officer Emmanuel, thank you very much. The reason the other guy could not go far with God, you know why? A river that does not have constant flow will dry up, stink. Officer, the one that did not behave well, Officer Collins started stink. Why? He stopped being evangelical. He reached out to Emmanuel. If he reached out to Emmanuel and reached out to the other guy and reached out to the other guy, his life will continue to flow like a river. As soon as he stopped, Satan found a way to perch. And before you know it, it's time he's behaving. Then this other one did not stop. As soon as he got Christ, he kept doing the work. Listen, being evangelical, preaching the gospel, is having your foot. The Bible says the protection of your feet. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of feet. You are protecting yourself. You are protecting yourself. I was able to serve God very well when I was in secondary school, because from Genesis 3, when I got born again, the Scripture Union Fellowship enforced that we must always start preaching. By the time I preached to people in SS1, SS2, I can't misbehave in school. So even if I didn't want to behave, I have behaved. Do you understand what I'm saying now? The system had helped me behave, because we had to preach to people and bring them to fellowship. So we couldn't fight, we couldn't misbehave, we couldn't do many terrible things because we were bringing people to Christ. If you find yourself, you know, in a place like that, don't relax. Keep bringing people in. Then know it that as a believer, it doesn't mean that because you are born again, everything will go all fine, everything will go all nice. The marriage of the other family was tested and they failed. Okay, what if the man fell but the wife kept strong? She now became Iron Lady. She now decided that she must become terrible. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? Yes, terrible in righteousness. You know, the other woman would have done the same thing to her husband. Get out. They had better offer. He said, you're going to do this work now. Look at your life. I should have carried her son too and disappeared. That would have been another problem. But she decided to follow through. You know, support. Even though her faith was not as strong as her husband's, but she encouraged him and they were just making moves and God showed up for them. I pray that God will continue to strengthen us and give us better understanding in the name of Jesus. We are going to pray and ask God for the ability to stay put. We are supposed to be hard followers, that we will not be people who cannot follow Jesus. There will be trials, though, temptation, pressure. Family will be tested. Career can be tested. Business can be tested. Marriage can be tested. I wish I had time. I would have shared with you. There are men of God that did a lot of wonderful things for God, beautiful Christians that did a lot of beautiful things for God, and they had serious tests. I've shared with some of us before, some of them even lost almost all their family. Reverend Dr. Omwakpai lost 3 members of his family in one day, 3 jeeps in one day, and almost everything, almost all the things he had started crumbling. And years after, Pastor Iye Adeboye said when his son died, the only consolation and encouragement he had was to look at Mwakpa's life. That if you lost 3, it's only 1. God, it is well. So with the comfort with which he was comforted, Mwakpa was comforted, God used his comfort to comfort another person in their own tribulation. I don't want us to be afraid of challenges. Don't be afraid of anything. Be of good cheer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? Temptations will come, but they'll make you stronger. You'll be better. And many of us, you eventually see that everything begins to end glorious. God begins to do it. And even if our God does not deliver us, we have handed over our lives to him. We are not turning back. Are we here together? So let's close our eyes and begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary this season. We have seen and we have learned. We have seen and we have learned. Lord, that we will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
Say, I've decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No.
One more time, let's sing it.
I have decided
to follow.
To follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided. Cross before me, the wall behind me, the cross before me, the wall behind me, the cross before me. No turning back,
no turning back,
no turning back,
no turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
To someone who wants to follow now, you decide now to follow Jesus. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Now to follow Jesus,
will you decide
now to follow Jesus?
No turning back.
I told you how this hymn was born out of the persecution of an Indian family where the village king called and they killed his son, killed the wife, and they were asking the man, will you still follow this Jesus? Now, some people who miss services like this, they will miss opportunities that will reinforce their faith. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, you come for a Sunday service, and you can come for a Sunday service for 6 months, and things like this are not the things that are shared. But when you come for meetings like this, we reinforce our faith. We share messages that will help you fasten your seatbelt. Somebody might have been thinking this season, I think I'm broke, I want to go back. I think I'm not enjoying the things I used to enjoy in the world, I want to go back. But would you hear things like this and still go back? The Bible says, return to your first love. In other words, that means somebody's about to turn back and saying, return to your first love. So if there's somebody under the sound of my voice, you want to accept Jesus into your heart, every other person, I want you to close your eyes and begin to thank God for the privilege to follow Jesus, the privilege to have known Jesus. Begin to thank God for helping to reinforce your faith. I believe that this message has reinforced your faith today, strengthened you that regardless of anything, no matter what, I'll follow Jesus. We see the killings in the north and they are targeting Christian areas. Most of the people whose families, you know, who lose their husbands and all that, they are Christians. The jihadists are doing everything they can. They are Christians that they are attacking. They are beautiful people who love Jesus. And these people will still go to church on Sunday morning and they will worship Jesus. They are not even sure if they go to church whether or not they will come back home, but they will go. And that's the thing about some of the believers there, right there in the north. Strong, die-hard followers. Now, those of us in this part of the world where we have that liberty, God is looking at our heart and saying, what exactly is your own problem? You are not even faced with death. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? He said, is it tribulation? Is it peril or sword? Pressure from family members? He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, my life is in Christ right now. I have found Jesus. I have found him and I will stay with him all the days of my life. I want you to begin to thank God. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart tonight as your Lord and Savior, can you quickly please raise your hand so that I will pray with you? Can you quietly raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you this night. She wants to make a decision this Easter Saturday. You want to make a decision to follow Jesus sincerely from your heart. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? I'm going to pray with you right now. You want to raise your hand confidently. God bless you. Just raise your hand confidently. I'm going to pray with you. Raise it. Be bold. Be bold. Raise it. Be very confident. This is a powerful decision that you are making. Can you say after me wherever you are, Lord Jesus, today I come before you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me, Jesus. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I have decided to follow you and I'm not turning back. I receive eternal life into my spirit and I declare that I am born again, I am saved, and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please open your eyes. I want to encourage some of us who are going through trying times. We all have different seasons in our lives. Some of us are going through trying times. You have some emotional challenges. You know, you're going through times where you don't just know what exactly is wrong. You can't explain what's happening right now. Some of us are going through financial crisis. You have done everything. It just your friends that are even managing to feed you, some of them are insulting and talking to you anyhow. Some of us are even, you might even be here and you are just squatting with a boy and he's messing you up because that's the only option you have told yourself that you have. I want to encourage you. It might just be your bold step of faith to leave that place that will open the door for you. And even if you leave there and the door doesn't open, I would rather do the right thing than stay in the pit, the mess. These are decisions that we make that God looks at and he sees our conviction. These are decisions that we make and God strengthens us. Look at the man who left his house and eventually came to an uncomfortable place. You know what that reminds me of? That's exactly what happened in our lives. My dad was just pastoring a church of over 300 and something members, and they had a serious crisis in the church. And this Saturday, we were pastors of a church of 300 members plus, and the next Saturday, we're living in an uncompleted building. Uncompleted building. Kai. It was like the shock of my life. I came back from school and I was like, And my mom said, your dad has gone to look for where we will stay. Where did he get? Uncompleted building. A mad woman was there. No toilets. Everywhere was messed up. And we lived in that uncompleted building for another 2 years. Within the period of living in that uncompleted building, you know, dad continued pressing in for ministry. At a point, some of us would have thought that, this man, okay. My elder sister dropped out of school, Unical. She couldn't continue. The other one that was supposed to go to another school, she was the only one that had a job and was even feeding the family at that point. And she eventually did a part-time program. Couldn't go to the regular, you know, university. Funny enough, in the whole of our family, I happened to be the first graduate through a regular university. Through a regular university, like stay on campus. Yes, I had to be the first. Because the real first person went through a polytechnic system, you know, and some things happened. Couldn't finish. The second person was university due to financial challenges and family crisis. She dropped out. The second one was supposed to go to the regular university, but she couldn't. But she had some resources and she was thinking of the family, so she did a part-time program and happened to be the next person to fit in that went through the regular university. And I came to my dad one day when I came to ask for school fees, and he was telling me, he was about giving me, he didn't have the money. Not even school fees. I just needed some money. I'm going to school 100 level. And I saw him literally crying. But he was the one that said, you must go to school. You don't have money to train somebody's school. You say, go to school. I just told God I would never come back to this house to ask for money again. And that's how the journey of my life started. And I started pressing all by myself. You know the funny thing? He preached Jesus Christ. He got many people saved. He has many sons and daughters all over the world that probably have good money. But during his trying times, many of them weren't there. And that season passed after about 3, 4, 5, 6 years. It took some time. The season passed. You know, I came on campus and I had to squat for 1 year before I was able to find my balance. And I was still serving God. During those times, in the where we were living there, we didn't have a house, but we had a place to run ministry. And that was where I was living. From there, I was going to preach in secondary schools everywhere from that corner. In fact, I called it my cave of Adullam, where you will come and look for David. David had a solution. I was getting ministrations to come and preach in big places, but they didn't know where I was living. They didn't know that I was living where we didn't have toilets. So that opportunity to come and minister is opportunity to use the toilet before I get back. It was a terrible experience. I'm telling you the truth. But God turned everything around. And today, all that is history. You want if somebody said, let me just go back to my friends. Oh, let me just go back and do what others are. Because I had friends. I had options. My sisters had options. They had options. But they chose to follow the straight and the narrow path. And God eventually helped us. So I want to challenge somebody. I want to encourage somebody. Don't think of going back anywhere. There's joy. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And if I don't see light at the end of the tunnel, I believe that an angel will come and pick me and show me the eternal light. Whichever way, I have found light. Whether in this world or not, I have found light. The conviction of eternal life is enough for me. It's enough for me that I have eternal life. it is well with us in Jesus' name. Thank you very much for coming tonight. The Lord bless you. I want to believe that you have learned a lot. I want us to do this season. Start reaching out to people. How many of us invited somebody to this movie night? You brought somebody here tonight for the movie night. Can I see you? You brought somebody. Okay, brother, you brought somebody. Well, who else? You brought somebody and the person you brought is with you. Can you stand up? Let me see. You brought the person. Stand up. You brought the person. Stand up. How many people brought people? Okay, your friends you brought. God bless you, brothers. Thanks for coming to church. No, you that brought somebody, stand up. You keep standing. You that brought somebody. I brought somebody to church. Where are they? How many of them? One. How many people you brought? And the people you brought, they are here now, now, now. Have they come to this church before? No, no. If it's their first time coming to this church, you are bringing them for the first time. The person you are bringing is coming for the first time. Can I see that? Who is the person? Okay, you brought somebody. The person is coming for the first time. Who else? God bless you. You brought somebody. The person is coming for the first time. Just the two? Any other person? Okay, the two of them. Who else? You brought somebody and the person is coming for the first time. Not like you saw your friend on the road and say, enter church. You intentionally brought the person to church. Wow, glory to God. So three of you, I'm going to give you a cash prize for 5,000 naira each. Three of you. So just immediately after the service, you want to see Pastor Messiah stand up. So just immediately after the service, she's going to be here. You can reach out to her. We will do the transfers to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.